Hello and welcome to our At Any Rate, European Rate Focus Podcast, a place for us to discuss recent development and key issue in European rate. I'm Fabio Bassi, Head of European Rate Strategy here at JP Morgan, and I'm joined today by our Senior Rate Strategy, Francis Diamond and Aditya Soria. Hi guys.
Hey, Fabio.
As we move into March, we want to take stock of the market dynamic that we experienced so far in a world where clearly growth is quite resilient, inflation is moving lower, but the pace that is clearly warranting a bit of caution from the central bank. Our call for this year is still for the Fed and ECB to start easing in June. However, the sticking of inflation has been indicated by central bank as a critical factor to be cautious in declared victory. Core inflation this morning in the euro area move from 3.3 to 3.1%. The year-on-year headline went from 2.8 to 2.6. So let me start with Francis. The inflation market are pretty optimistic around the evolution of inflation over the medium term. Do you agree with what is priced there, or do you see the risk that this stickiness of inflation is going to force the delay of the easing cycle for the ECB?
Yeah, Fabio. So if we actually look at what's price in terms of inflation markets, you've got average inflation headline that is at 2.3 for this year. Then, as you say, it looks fairly optimistic as you then price average inflation at 2% both 2025 and 2026. So it does look like there is a degree of optimism price. And if you look at our forecasts, we do have a sense that the inflation trajectory, the core inflation, is one of ongoing moderation. So it's 2.6% by the middle of the year, and then probably hovering around those levels with headline falling to 2.3 by year end. However, I think if you look into the details of today's flash, it does look like service price gains are firming, or certainly sending a sense that there is elevated unit cost pressures coming through. And the disinflationary trend on core goods has clearly come to an end at the back end of last year. So I think there is some uncertainty here around the speed of moderation of core inflation, but probably still with a downward trajectory. We know the ECB is focused on wage growth. That has an impact on core service inflation. But I think there's not maybe enough clarity yet on exactly where inflation will settle over the coming months. So I do think we need to see more signs that that downward trend is stalling to force any delays at the start of easing. But I think you're right, there might be a little bit of risk lingering, and we just need to see the data.
Thank you, Francis. Next week, we are going to have the ECB meeting where policy rates are expected to be on hold. Our economists are telling us that they still believe that they're going to have a data-dependent approach. The focus will clearly move to their projection for inflation. We believe that headline inflation could actually go slightly below target for 2025 and 2026, while core is probably going to be at 2.2 in 2025 and 2% in 2026. So given what German bonds have done since the beginning of the year, Aditya, what do you think is going to be the impact of the ECB on the duration market next week?
Sure, Fabio. So clearly, we have been running a strategic overweight duration stance over the past couple of months, and the last few weeks have clearly been a bit quite challenging. We still remain comfortable over the medium-term stance that German yields will be lower over the next 3 to 6 months' time, and hence I continue to hold this longs in 5-year Germany as a medium-term strategic trade. The recent sell-off has pushed ECB's cumulative easing expectations closer to 250 versus our expectation of neutral, which is somewhere around 2%. At current market pricing, we believe that the market is in line with soft lending higher or restrictive for longer type of scenario, is fully discounting any risk of slowdown in growth or even a recession in euro area, which in our view is quite optimistic. And hence, we believe that over the coming months, the market will slowly gravitate towards back to 2%. The near-term challenge, which we have been highlighting, is that the whole optimism around the US data, both macro, both labor and inflation, has sort of created some contagion for euro area, where market is finding hard to price the differentiating, or finding it very hard to differentiate between the different fundamental pictures between euro area and the US. And hence, euro rates have been moving higher in tandem with the US, at least since the start of the year. Recently, the beta has declined, and we expect this trend to continue. And hence, we remain comfortable with the longs in 5-year Germany. Also, this week, I entered a 10-15 German steepener, which is a proxy for 10-30s. and steepening bias, and also it has a good attractive RV in there. On the ECB next week, I don't believe it will be a big driver for duration, given we expect their communication to be in line with the recent commentaries.
Thank you, Aditya.
So, Fabio, on the ECB side, there's a lot of discussion around the revision of the operational framework. The outcome is expected to be in late spring, and next week seems to be a bit too early. But given the recent focus on the topic, could you share your thoughts on the possible outcome and implication for the rate markets, if there are any?
Yeah, sure. I think that in our view, high excess liquidity will probably be permanent going forward, and is going to be made of two components, a permanent bond portfolio of security and long-term refinancing operation. On the first point, I believe that QT is going to continue in autopilot for a while, even during the expected easing cycle, but eventually, probably most likely in 3-4 year time, the ECB will reach a level of security holding that they are happy and comfortable. From there, there will be a very small gradual increase, more in line with the nominal growth of the economy. What I think is interesting is the dynamic in terms of refinancing operation. The ECB has clearly indicated the bias to introduce a longer term operation index at the refi, where the refi rate will probably most likely closer to the depo with a likely narrowing in the, of the corridor. I think in ECB view, given the full allotment, the cost of lending longer for them is negligible, and operationally is going to be easier than rolling the current standard 7 days and 3 month operation. So collateral framework will probably be stricter with a stronger use on the high quality collateral. So in terms of implication for the market, I think that they're going to be quite limited in the very short term. At the margin, I believe that you favor some richening of funding rates given the collateral need of funding and the permanent portfolio, which is one of the reasons why we like Schatz-Esters spread at wider than the current level as a cheap risk of edge and also with some protection to the revision of the framework.
Thanks, Fabio.
Moving back to you, Aditya, interim spread clearly behaved very well as the ECB went on hold with low volatility supporting the carry trade. What is your stance from here?
Indeed, Fabio, we have been running a high conviction overweight intra-EM and SSA stance, and it's a view which has played out really well so far this year and has been a bit more orthogonal to the broader ECB narrative or the pricing. However, after the recent strong performance, I technically trimmed part of the overweight exposure last week with the aim of re-entering on any widening move. Because the recent interim spreads have broadly tightened over a period characterized by elevated yield volatility, given the uncertainty around the starting point and the magnitude of ECB's easing cycle. This, in my view, highlights strong investor demand, strong conviction of owning carry trades, which is underpinning our strategic overweight stance. However, the rising overweight interim exposure across the client base, although the positions are still not far away from the overweight levels we've seen in early 2022, however, along with the positioning, the ongoing macro and monetary and policy uncertainty makes interim spreads more susceptible to temporary near-term corrections. And hence, I'm trying to play it a bit more tactically with running a very light exposure now with the aim to re-enter on any widening move.
Thank you, Aditya. Let me turn to Francis now. Next week in UK, the focus clearly will shift to the budget. What do you expect there? And what is going to be the impact, if any, that you are seeing on the yield market?
Well, this budget is probably the last one we will get from this government before an expected election. It's going to receive a lot of media and political focus. But to be honest, from a UK rates market perspective, I think the impact here from any fiscal announcements is going to be pretty limited. We've already discussed, our econ team has discussed how much headroom there is available. We've seen a lot of media reports over the past few weeks with various numbers thrown around. In our estimates, is possibly up to 15 to 20 billion. That should allow probably the chance to announce a 1% cut in the base rate of income tax. But I think our view here is there is unlikely to be anything particularly large or particularly controversial in terms of any fiscal easing, given the government will still want to project fiscal discipline and the experience from the Truss mini budget still lingers in memory. Possibly we could see a very small sell-off for intermediate yields if either the package of easing is larger than what we've seen sort of trailed in the media, or maybe more of the headroom is used up. But I wouldn't be particularly aggressive in trying to position for that, given where we are in terms of valuations. For example, from a relative value standpoint, five-year Sonia versus five-year ESTA spread has been narrowing, but it still does look a little bit too wide on the regression basis versus the level of five-year Sonia. So I don't really think there's a clean or particularly easy trade or expected follow-through in terms of yields. There's always focus on the issuance remit. We'll get the next one from the DMO for fiscal year 24-25. We've penciled in around 245 billion gross gilt issuance. That's probably towards the low end of the consensus range, with a modest decline in the portion of longs, maybe around about 2% decline. Possibly, if that forecast is realised, we might see a bit of a knee-jerk rally in sterling rates, maybe a bit of widening in intermediate swap spreads, but I think it's quite limited magnitude, and we don't really see much value in positioning, to be honest, Fabian.
Thank you, Francis. So let me wrap it up here. We continue to keep a bullish duration outlook like long heavier Germany or long lens in the euro area, but with some protection against the delay in the start of the easing, like a put option on Euribor or some conditional bear flattener. We are constructive over the medium term in intra-EMU, but we are cautious short term with an eye on position. In UK, we believe that there is going to be a limited impact on the rate market from the budget. Overall, we have a bullish proxy at the short end of the curve that we calibrate with some long-end flattener that offers some relative value projection. That brings us to the end of this episode of At Any Rate, European Rate Podcast. Thank you, Francis and Aditya, for joining today, and thank you all for listening. We hope to have you back again in the next episode. This communication has been provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research report related to its content for more information, including important disclosure. 2024, JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on Friday, the 1st of March, 2024.